left off. Is there any that might be with us for the first time? We are studying from a study sheet, and therefore, if you are here and didn't get any, then okay, good to have you with us, Sister Brown. Good to see you, Sister Brown. Okay, we are at page 6. Yes, we're at page 6. We are literally on the last few verses. We are going to ask that verse 11 and 12 be read. We are really from around verse 13, and as you know, the subject of head covering is in Paul's discussion at verse 16. We encourage you sharing your knowledge on any verse, any word, any we encourage that those who have reason to ask questions that you feel free to do so. We have been on the subject since when?
December 6th.
December, no? Okay, December. So it's going some 7 months now, or 8 months. we are, in fact, on the final few verses. We have made somewhat a thorough and detailed study of the passage. We did not attempt or try to exempt any verse or step over or avoid it. We did not stifle any question or input or comment or question. And we hope that those who have followed this study would have learned and accept the passage. We have also tried to address the many objections to head covering that comes up. We are going to now ask that verse 11 and 12 be read.
Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God.
The nevertheless comes from the point being made in verse 8 and 9 and 10. The nevertheless comes from the point. Paul, the Almighty God, did not want any man, any woman to take the truth and the fact of verse 9, 10, and 11, well, rather verse 8. Through verse 10 to a wrong extreme. The fact, the divine truth of verse 8 through 10 is that God created man first shows priority in God's scheme of things. It's the same principle upon which the firstborn in biblical time, especially the Old Testament, had a priority. The child that was born first shows priority. That man was created first shows priority. Functional or positional priority. It has nothing to do with superior or inferior. It has to do with in function. The man has priority in position. The man has priority that he was created first. That's some of what God was indicating. Lest that was taken out, of context. Paul, the Holy Spirit rather, is in verse 11. Nevertheless, verse 11 in effect is, God fixed it that man depends on woman and woman depends on man. Okay. That's the point. So the nevertheless is coming where it tells us the creative priority in which God places man, and that woman takes the subordinate position or place. And now it is telling us that the man must never think he is independent of the woman, and the woman must never think she is independent of the man. Why? Because the Almighty God made it that both depends on each other. Are we there? Verse 12.
For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God.
You notice how he's continuing the truth? And this is that, you know, I love how plain the Bible is. Because Paul, the Holy Spirit in Paul, knew that there are men and women who will take what God has fixed out of context. So even after he has explained, their interdependence, their dependence on each other, in verse 11, in verse 12, he's nailing it home. For as the woman is of the man, that is, of the man, comes from the man, even so the man also comes by the woman. You know, so none of us don't have anything to say, I have it over you. That is as far as men and women is concerned. Then the nail home is of all things is of God. Both are to belong to God and is responsible to God, is obligated to God, is from God, is dependent on God. So keep that in mind. Any question, comment on these three verses?
Based on Genesis 3 and verse 16 and what you just said a while ago, that men have nothing over women have nothing over. I'm seeing where all of this about men being head and all of that, I'm saying that if it weren't for sin, because it's after Eve ate the apple that God said that because you shall bring forth children and yet your husband shall rule over you. It's like that was not so before.
From what, not just this passage, from what other passage teach Timothy from all indication is that even before sin, the Almighty God that is First Timothy 5 just a minute. I suffer not a woman to teach over the man is chapter 2. Yes, chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. From verse, I was going to ask her to read from verse 8, but verse 9.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, which shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Now, we are going on, you know. Now, he's going to give two reasons, and those two reasons are as lasting as the earth itself. Why the woman should not usurp authority over the man. What you are going to notice is that one of these reasons predate sin. So let us hear verse 13.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve.
That's the first reason for verse 12. I do not permit the woman to, one, teach, two, usurp authority over the man. Why, God, why do you have direct the apostle to write this Holy Spirit? Because when the Almighty God created human being, he created the man first. So what we notice here is that even without sin, man has that priority. Then the second reason, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. So, what we see here, Sister Reynolds, is that even man's priority comes from That is functional or positional priority comes from the fact that when God created him first, it was no accident. It was purpose. That even without sin, in fact, may I? God is a God of order. Among the beings that do not sin, you have to have an archangel. What does that tell you? What the word arch means? Top, head. So there are categories of angel. Remember, we are talking here about beings who do not sin. Yet, you know, the Bible talks about Michael the archangel, which means he has priority over all the other angels. And they are sinless beings. So, that sin comes might have placed other limitation or restraint on the woman, as verse 14. I'm always fascinated over this verse. And Adam was not deceived. What do you mean, Lord? Was Adam deceived? In his case, of course, it was by his wife. You know. But you see, it was the trailblazer in bringing sin in the world was Eve. So she might have been placed under additional restraint because of that. Okay? Yes.
How well received are these four verses in your dealing with women?
Say that.
How well received are these four verses in dealing with women? Because my engage and encounter many times, this is a challenge for most women, or a lot of women. Even though they might not outburst this, but this made them very, let me choose my word. And it might not seem as a contention, but it is.
Yeah. In other words, I see what you're saying, Brother Peter, that of course, from verse 8, 9 down to verse 12, 13, it is stating a fact. Creative, divine, heavenly fact. You are right, and especially the time in which you and I are living, Brother Peter, not just this time, it goes a way back. And it seems the more quote unquote modern we get, is the more some women find these, not so much these verses, but the truth being expressed in these verses, find it unacceptable. And would want to, when they get a chance, defy it, fight against it, oppose it, or whatever. One, there is no amount of rejection or fighting or defiance or criticism of these verses going to change the truth. So that must first be kept in mind. Two, to be a true child of God, every man, every woman are under obligation. Is that man or woman going to make Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior? We are under obligation to accept the teachings of Jesus Christ. We cannot take what we want from the teaching of Christ and reject what we don't like. Three, men and women must be careful that we do not go through life rejecting any truth of the gospel. And while that rejection might be suppressed, in other words, we do not make it conspicuous. Not many people know that I don't accept that passage. We cannot go through life rejecting any aspect of God's teaching and expect to stand safe. You can't. While nobody on earth may know about it, but in your own mind and system, you reject it. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do it not the things that I say? In effect, you are rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord. Because the word Lord implies complete submission to. So what we need when we come upon any truth of the gospel that we may find difficult be to accept is to pray to God to give us the willing mind, the submissiveness to accept His truth. We don't want to go through life deceiving ourselves that we are Christian when the Almighty God knows within our heart that we reject plain truth which He has given. So, thus, as I've said, I agree with your observation, Brother Peart. But we have to be careful. Whatever we may come upon in the Bible and find it difficult, we need to constantly pray to God to soften our hearts, our mind, that we may yield to it. It is on this basis that so many men and women are going to stand before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment and be surprised when Jesus Christ said, "Depart from me, I never know you." Because they go through life thinking that they were Christians. They were saved. They were accepted by God. So much so that the idea Jesus Christ gave there in Matthew 7 is that some of them going to correct God. "But God, I did this in your name," as if to say, "God, you had forgotten something. I did this in your name." Jesus Christ going to say, "I never knew you." So, you know, it's very important. Yes, Mavis.
I said to them, God is the head over Christ. Christ is the head over man, and man is the head over woman. And the hair covering is something you put on. It's not. They said the hair is the covering, but it's not something you. Your hair itself is the cover the scalp, and this is the covering for the head.
The hair is not the covering that the passage is, you know, and I'm sure you're right, what you have just said, that wherever you go, it doesn't matter how many people stand against what, when you know what you know, you stand for it. I'm sure also that I have no doubt Sometime I'll go out on the limb to swear for a person until I'm proven wrong. But I have no doubt that over the years, Derek would have stand up for the truth when it comes to that subject. I have no doubt that he would have stood up with the truth as it relate to the subject, even though these are the brethren who sponsor him to come and preach. But I have no doubt that he's not only he would, but that he's well qualified on the subject to show them what the Bible teaches. No. How many people does it is not the important do it is not the important thing. Okay. Yes, Brother Sturdy.
Just what you are saying. Just to confirm the fact that there will be a debate in terms of this case and the COVID and that day. For those who would have believed another interpretation other than the fact that women should be covered. You just said that, you know, many, the Bible says that many on that day will say no.
That's right.
And some will even want to have a debate.
With God.
With God.
Truly, truly.
And this debate will be the extension of what we're having now.
You have the point, Brother Sterling. I follow you, and you're right. The other thing is that there is a lesson, a point just came up, and there is a lesson that I plan to bring on how God deals with things, and it comes out of two of the character that we have just passed over, and I don't want to go in much detail, and it's like this, Brother Sterling, while you are so right that there will be men and women that will want to enter discussion and a debate with God, as Matthew chapter 7 shows. God, have you forgotten what I did? And it's like God sort of just ignore their plea and depart from me, I never know you. So my point is, I don't think God will be in the mood for any debate on that day. Truly.
If we want to be defined as God, and not adhere to the covenant of the head, then defiance then won't help us.
It won't help us. That's right. You see, it won't help us. Not only that, Brother Sterling, for any man or woman on any subject to think that, okay, when I get before God, I'll ask God to enlighten me on this. Judgment will be too late for any enlightenment. So we better put out all the effort and prayer now to get whatever enlightenment we need. You see, because the Almighty God will not be in food for any of that.
there are those who believe that head covering is not
important.
Equally so. It won't be just me alone who don't cover my head. Not me, but really. But it will be those who have heart. Right?
You're right. Those of us, Brother Sterling, as you are really properly pointing out, you see, those of us who teach, we have great responsibility. Be not many of you masters. And it went on to show how we have to watch out how we go wrong with what comes from the mouth. And the going wrong there was especially in the context of that verse, what we teach. You see. And when Jesus Christ taught, if the blind lead the blind, that was talking about those of us who teach. Those who follow must make sure you know what you are following. You cannot on the day of judgment say, it's Brother Mitchell taught me that. You know why? If God provided only Brother Mitchell with a Bible, you may have some excuse. But when God provided the Bible for almost all of us who want, we can get it and study it prayerfully. We cannot find excuse behind any leader. But you're right, Brother Sterling, there's great responsibility, because we will further be punished for misleading people. That's one of the great reasons we must put all the premium time and effort in, making sure that when we put a lesson together, we strive to represent the Almighty God correctly. Talking about what God laid down from creation, I am now fighting between, well, over the years, our vacation Bible school lesson, we sometimes spend weeks upon weeks preparing lesson. And at the 4 days of VBS, sometimes we cover just sometime third of what's prepared. Over the years, so many of those lessons that really take a lot of time and to be only some of it is used. What we have done a few times is revisit a subject. Right now, I'm trying to choose between two subjects, but one of them is titled Evolution or Creation. Very important subject. Did we evolve or were we created? What are some of the implications for those so-called scholars out there who think we were evolved? What are the implications of being created? Very important subject. Evolution or creation? That might be one of the subjects in our 4 days. That might be the theme and the study in our 4 day VBS. We are still looking for some teachers. Okay, we have just about 5 or so minutes to go. let us hear verse 13 and 14. We are still in 1 Corinthians 11.
Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?
Okay. We had covered, judge ye in yourself. Anybody remembers? We had covered that. But let me just run through a few of the points I remember sharing then. I had pointed out then that judge ye in yourself does not mean or imply that arriving at the truth on the matter under consideration was left up to human subjective judgment. Everybody gets that? When Paul said judge in yourself, he was not saying each person turn it over in your mind and whatever conclusion you arrive at, you'll be okay. Everybody gets that? Huh? Look at Luke 12. Okay. May I? Instead, Acts 13:46. Judge ye in yourself. Acts 13:46.
Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
Okay, when he said you judge yourself unworthy, what does this mean? Is he referring to some subjective thing in them that they use? What does it mean? Judge yourself unworthy.
We should never think ourselves. The passage slipped.
Take that.
The passage slipped, my brother Michelle. But could the Bible tells us that we should. The Bible teaches this that in other place, in some other place, that we should never think that we have apprehended, like Paul said.
Yes, that we have reached.
Yes. So we should always be reaching, going, trying to be better. Never feel that you are.
That you have reached where you are to reach.
Yes.
Okay. Here he said, you have judged yourself unworthy. Yes.
Right. I think the idea here is judge yourself. You judge yourselves unworthy. Is that they would have been doing the judging, the assessment, but it would have been based on some type of standard, some basis that when they apply themselves or the situation to that standard, they could come to a conclusion. So it's not subjective, but it would have been some objective facts.
Okay, I must drop a word in your mouth. Paul, you judge yourself on? He was here implying that they have used some wrong standard to arrive at the decision they made to reject the gospel. Put another way, they did. You judge yourself unworthy. You did not use the right standard of judgment. That's how come you end up rejecting the gospel. So judge here doesn't mean necessarily that you must apply some subjective, just simply the way you feel. Because these people apply the way they felt. And Paul is showing that this has misled you in rejecting the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15 following. Verse 15 and 16.
But if a woman have long hair.
1 Corinthians 10, 11, 15 and 16.
I speak as the wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the...
What does he mean here, judge ye what I say? What is he saying? In this he's saying, he's implying, if he's almost commanding them to apply the right judgment to this situation, and you will arrive at the right understanding. Read it again.
I speak as the wise men. Judge ye what I say.
That is. You see, he's psychologically complimenting them ahead of the exercise of their judgment. I am speaking like I'm speaking to wise people, so apply wise judgment. The cup of blessing which we bless, referring to what?
Communion.
The communion. Is it not this? He's asking them to apply the right judgment. So whenever you read in Corinthians, judging in yourself, it's not referring to any subjectivity. That is, just use the way you feel about things. No, it is an appeal for them to apply what? The right kind of judgment in arriving at truth. Okay? We are going to stop here. Yeah, please. Please.
Do you think women pray like Eve when Eve, before sin came into the world, do you think Eve would have been praying to God?
We assume that both Adam and Eve would have had opportunity to speak to God.
Because even in studying modesty and clothing and that, they were naked, and because they were man and wife, their nakedness were not...
Not only shameful. Because they were man and wife. It is sin that brings shame.
Yes.
So it is the sin factor that brings shame. Being man and wife may play a part in certain aspects, but what we find, as you know, for the first time in their existence, they found reason to hide themselves. And that was the cause they sinned.
So that's why I'm back again thinking that sin really must, because I would have supposed that they would Eve would have prayed, and I don't know if they know anything about covering up anywhere to God. And
well, keep in mind, keep in mind again that after they sinned and became ashamed over their nakedness, they provide covering for themselves. Of course, that covering was inadequate until God killed an animal and used the skin for their covering. Of course, that covering God provided was highly symbolic, because sin played there, and the Almighty God was showing right in that to cover man's sin, which brings shame, man doesn't have the wherewithal to provide that covering. And the Almighty God further showed that the covering for sin, which brings shame, it needs blood covering. All of that was pointing to Jesus Christ. Okay. So, next week now, we pick up on what verses?